I want to speak to tonight as we look at these verses in Mark chapter 10 about the conversion of blind Bartimaeus. The providence of God brought Bartimaeus to Jericho, and grace brought Jesus to Bartimaeus. Jesus may pass through a town, through a community, and individuals remain lost, but for that one that does cry for mercy, there's salvation, grace, and life eternal. This is a faithful saying. Paul said, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. As we think about the conversion and the recovery or the giving of sight to Bartimaeus, you notice three things especially about him. His night, his fight, and his sight. You notice his night, his condition, of course. He was blind. He was blind physically. And while it's a tragedy to be blind physically, unable to see with the physical eyes, even worse than that, and even a greater tragedy than that, is spiritual blindness. Helen Keller said it's a tragedy to have eyesight and yet not be able to see. I think about Fanny Crosby, who wrote many of the great hymns that the church still sings tonight, today. When she was just a baby, she was blinded by a quack doctor. And when Miss Crosby was being interviewed then in her 80s, Miss Crosby said, "Not for one moment have I held any resentment against that doctor, for I do believe that he did what he did, that I might do what I'm doing." She was being interviewed also on another occasion, and the reporter asked her this question, "Miss Crosby, if you could have one wish granted, what would it be?" He was getting ready to write down that I might receive my sight. But to his astonishment, Fanny Crosby replied that I might remain blind, for the first face I shall ever behold will be the face of my Lord. And so while it's a terrible thing to be blind physically, it's even worse to be blind spiritually. Even out of blindness, instead of becoming bitter, making herself miserable and everybody around her miserable, Fanny Crosby wrote such songs as "Blessed Assurance," "Jesus is mine," "Heir of salvation," "Purchased of God," "Born of His Spirit," "Washed in His blood." "This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long." And so as terrible as physical blindness is, it is not nearly as bad as spiritual blindness. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the unsaved, that they're blinded by the god of this world, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them." 2 Corinthians 2:11, "For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." Now the apostle is saying, in order to understand human life, you must be human. In order to understand spiritual life, you must be spiritual. And 1 John says, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life." That is spiritual life. Now there's only one thing, of course, that blind men need, and that is sight. The only thing that a dead person needs is life. Now you can go down to the funeral home and read to that corpse from daylight to dark. And when you get through reading from all your textbooks, that corpse is still lying there, stiff and dead. That corpse has no appetite. That corpse has no affection, no feeling whatsoever. You can take a hatchet, mutilate that body, bounce it off the wall like a basketball, but that corpse will feel absolutely nothing. It needs life. You can even change the environment of that corpse. You can move the corpse out of the funeral home, place it on Fifth Avenue in New York City, but it'll still be a dead corpse. The only thing that'll help those that are spiritually dead is the life of God. And no one but God can impart divine life. Only God can quicken the sinner. And I was in Titusville, Florida a few months ago in a meeting. And every night on my way to the church, I'd pass the Cape Canaveral. And at that time, the space shuttle was out on the launching pad, ready to be launched the following week. And I thought about, as I looked at that space shuttle each night, I thought about the great power that was necessary to lift that rocket boosters and to lift that space shuttle into outer space. But I want to remind you that that is nothing compared to the power that is required to resurrect those that are spiritually dead in trespasses and sin. And nothing short of the quickening power of God can resurrect those who are spiritually dead in sin. The dead men need life, and blind men need sight. Now the reason, of course, that men cannot see spiritually is because they're spiritually blind. Have you ever met anybody who sees no need in reading the Bible, and so they never read it? They see no need in praying, and so they never pray. They see no need in giving their tithes and offerings to the Lord. And so they rob Him of His tithes and offerings. And their constant expression is, I can't see. I don't see. I can't see. And they're exactly right. Because Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see. Men and women are spiritually blind. Blind to the realities of God. And then because of his blind condition, he was a beggar. Life was difficult because of the fact that he was a blind beggar. Now, of course, the conditions, the circumstances for the blind are nothing compared to the day in our day, compared to the days of Bartimaeus. But the only way that Bartimaeus could even hope to survive was to sit by a dusty roadside each morning, hold out a tin cup, and beg for the mercy and depend on the kindness and the compassion of those that passed by. And after he would sit in midnight blackness, he would go to the place wherever he stayed, go to sleep in midnight darkness, get up the next morning, go sit by that dusty roadside, and do the same thing over again, day in and day out. What a miserable life Bartimaeus must have lived. I remind you that it is so with the sinner. They are miserable and they have no hope for peace. The Bible declares, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And without the peace of God in your heart, then life is absolutely miserable. It is uncertain. I am grateful that my peace is based on my relationship to God. It is not based on the circumstances of life. I don't have to rush out every morning and buy a newspaper to find out what kind of day I'm going to have. I have peace based on my relationship to Him. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That means whether the sun is shining brightly or whether the clouds are hanging low, there is a peace that passes all understanding. The peace of God rules in our hearts like an army, like a garrison. It guards our hearts, and our peace is based on our relationship to Him. He was a beggar because of his blind condition, and life was miserable. You know, his concern, he had heard, I'm sure, of the mighty deeds of Jesus of Nazareth. Now, I'm sure that Bartimaeus had heard what Jesus had done in a little place called Bethany.
less than 20 miles up the road, how that Jesus had gone to the entrance of the tomb of Lazarus, where Lazarus had been lying 4 days and 4 nights, and that how that Jesus stepped out to the entrance of that tomb and cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Lazarus heard Jesus call his name, rolled over on that cold slab of stone, came hopping up out of the grave, mortuary apparel, death napkin and all. And Jesus had said, "Loose him and let him go." I imagine as Bartimaeus sat in midnight darkness, he did a lot of thinking. Now, of course, he could not see. But faith does not come by seeing. Faith cometh by hearing. And in this case, seeing is not believing, but hearing is believing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so in his lonely darkness, and in his deep poverty, he thought and became persuaded that Jesus was the Son of God. Now if you act on what you hear, God will give you more light. Romans 1 says that the invisible things of God are revealed since creation, so that all men are without excuse. Here's a native in some dark jungle. But if that native follows the light that God gives him, God will give him more light. Now, of course, creation has a voice, but it does not have a heart. But if an individual, if that native, will follow the light of creation and keep on following the light that God gives him, I do believe that he will wind up at Jesus' feet. And if the Lord has to, he'll crash an airplane, parachute a missionary in to give you the gospel story. Follow the light that God gives you, and he'll give you more light. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Bartimaeus determines and thinks to himself, if this stranger of Galilee ever comes my way, if he ever passes by where I'm at, I'm going to ask him for his light, that I might have sight. Now you remember on the other end of the city of Jericho, there was another man who had a handicap as well. His name was Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, the hated, despised tax collector. And I'm sure that when Zacchaeus had heard that Jesus was passing by, that Zacchaeus had tried to get out in front. He was short. He was of little stature. And I'm sure that when people saw little Zacchaeus, that hated, that despised tax collector, I'm sure that they must have formed a human chain. They would not let little Zacchaeus pass in front of them. But Zacchaeus, being a little man, been standing and cursed about his size, he was a little man, but a little man could climb a tree. And so he climbs up into a sycamore tree. And I'm sure, I know, that there was more than one sycamore tree in the city of Jericho. And I'm sure that the tree that Zacchaeus had climbed up in was full of people, adults, children as well, trying to catch a glimpse of Jesus of Nazareth. But when Jesus got beneath one particular tree, he called one man by name and said, "Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Bartimaeus was blind, but he could cry, and he determined that if this stranger of Galilee ever passes my way, I'm going to ask for sight. You note that Bartimaeus, not only his night, but his fight. Now there's always a struggle when the devil's about to lose a soul. And you can rest assured that the devil will oppose every move toward God. No sinner's ever started toward God without resistance and without a fight from the devil. Sometimes people say, I just wouldn't want to be a part of a church that had any battles, that had any struggles. And I'm certainly not advocating battles and struggles. They come plenty enough without looking for them. But on the other hand, I think I'd hate to be a part of something so sorry the devil wouldn't fight. You can rest assured that when the people of God say, "Let us arise," the devil says, "Let me oppose." And when a sinner starts to God, he always puts up a roadblock. And there's always a hindrance by the devil to keep that sinner from getting to God. And that was true in the case of Bartimaeus. You know his cry. He cried for the right thing. "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." That's all a sinner can ask for, is mercy. And it comes in that order. There is no grace without mercy. Maybe Bartimaeus had wondered, how could he even ever get to Jesus? After all, it'd be hard to find someone that would take the time to escort, to help this poor blind beggar to Jesus. Who'd want to take the time and the trouble to get this dirty beggar, this blind beggar, to the Lord Jesus? And then something one day happens. One day something happens that he never expected to happen. He hears the tramping of feet. He hears the noise of the crowd. And he discovers that Jesus of Nazareth is passing right by where he is. "I'm glad when I cannot get to him, he came to me in mercy and in grace." Like that lost sheep that could not find its way back to the fold, he came after that one sheep that is lost. Now, maybe that sheep was like the picture portrays, hanging off some cleft, getting ready to fall into some crevice hundreds of feet below. But when the shepherd finds that sheep, he reached down, lifted it up, and placed it on his shoulders. When the shepherd found that sheep, he didn't kick it. He didn't cuss it. He didn't abuse it. He didn't say, "You've caused me to lose long nights of sleep. You've caused me to tear my hands on the thorns and the briars. You've caused me to be exposed to the cold, dark nights and the heat of the day. I ought to just let you perish, not on your life." But he reached down and he lifted that sheep up and placed it on his shoulders. Now, if every one of us died and went to a crashless eternity, we'd have to say amen to our own condemnation. But I'm grateful that he came after us in mercy and in grace. He might have had to assault for some of you through long, dark nights and long years of sin. And there might be those of you that the church might have given up on and the preacher might have given up on. But don't you thank God that the shepherd did not give up, and he kept on searching. He kept on seeking. And he found that sheep that was lost. And to the surprise of Bartimaeus, Jesus came right to where he was. And he cried for mercy. And you can't ever get peace until you get mercy. Charlotte Elliott was right when she penned those words, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come." That's the only way a sinner can come. We have nothing to offer. We have nothing to present. We must come as we are, poor, helpless sinners. And he cried for the right thing. He cried for mercy. He cried to the right one. "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." There's not a priest. There's not a rabbi. There's not a Baptist preacher that can absolve your sin and forgive your sin. But there is one way only to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. He cried to the right one, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Titus says, not the works which we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us. Not according to our righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us. And then he cried at the right time, while Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Now, the Lord came to seek and to save sinners. And you must come when He calls. And he cried while Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And the idea that men are saved just whenever they take an ocean has no scriptural basis whatsoever. Jesus said, no man can come unto me except my Father which has sent me shall draw him. That's why we pray for convicting power. That's why we pray for sinners. Unless he, the Holy Ghost, shall convict and convince of sin, there'll be no conversions. Sometimes people get the idea that if we could just have this preacher to come to our church and preach to us, we'd really have revival. Or I tell you, if we could just get this group to sing to us, we'd really have a meeting. But I remind you that all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes. He must convict and He must convince of sin. And Bartimaeus cried at the right time while Jesus was passing by. Well, there's no record that Jesus ever passed through Jericho again on His earthly sojourn. This was the last time that he would pass through Jericho. And for Bartimaeus, it was now or never. I have heard many say, and I'm sure that most of us probably feel the same way, that if we had not come to God that hour that he called us, we would have never come. We would never have come. But he cried to the Lord. He cried for mercy while Jesus was passing by. Many years ago out in Texas, there was a young Baptist preacher who went to a little Texas mining town to preach at revival services. And the first night, on a Sunday night, God impressed him to preach on hell. He preached and delivered what God put in his heart. It was his intention to let the people go home and think about what they'd heard. And after the preacher was through, the pastor, who had been there for nearly 40 years, said, I want to say something to you tonight. I've never done this before, and I'm sure I'll never do it again. He called the name of 33 adult men and spent exactly 1 minute on them. For example, he started with Tom and then went to Bill and went on down the line until he called the names of 33 adult men. And called into repentance and salvation and faith in Jesus Christ. And at the end of those 33 minutes, all 33 men were at the altar. And every one of them testified that God had saved them that night and that experienced the saving power of God. They left the church, of course, with every intention of coming back the next night. But the next day, there was an explosion in one of the mines. They knew that in this particular mine, that there were 33 men. They worked feverishly to rescue them. All 33, though, had been killed. Finally, they brought the last body out. But it was the same 33 men that had stood in that little Baptist church less than 24 hours before. And for the last time, had been called to repentance and faith and salvation in Jesus Christ. And God in mercy had saved all 33 of them. Oh, the mercy of God in calling sinners. God in mercy may speak to you again. He may give you many opportunities, I do not know. But on the other hand, He may never speak to you again. He may never deal with you in mercy. But while Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, you must come. And Bartimaeus cried at the right time. While Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, you notice his critics. Now the crowd tried to shut him up. But the more they tried, the louder he cried. You see, these people were too busy running religious machinery to hear the cries of this one poor blind man. And they said, shut up. He don't have time for you. Be quiet. But he kept crying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The crowd said, shut up. But Bartimaeus cried, Jesus. They said, shut up. But he cried even louder, Jesus, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. It was sight, or it was no sight. And you note his sight and his call. Jesus stopped, stood still, and called the blind man. Of course, Jesus heard him the first time he called. But when Jesus stopped and stood still, that same crowd who just moments before had said, shut up. He don't have time for you. They didn't just ask him to shut up. They charged him. They demanded that he be quiet. But he kept crying. But that same crowd that had tried to shut him up, when Jesus called him, they said, be of good cheer. Rise, he calleth thee. Now Bartimaeus didn't say, you bunch of hypocrites. While ago you told me to shut up and now you tell me to cheer up. Just forget it. I think I'll remain blind. Oh no. Hypocrites or no hypocrites. All that mattered was that Jesus of Nazareth was calling him. And I'm convinced when a sinner really sees himself in sin and he sees that he deserves hell and the judgment and he sees the Lamb of God that took away his sin hanging on Calvary's cross, I'm convinced that there's not a preacher crooked enough. There's not a deacon mean enough. There's not a church member low down enough to stop him from getting to God. All that mattered to Bartimaeus was that Jesus was calling him. Hypocrites or no hypocrites, who cared? Jesus was calling him. And Jesus called him. And they said, he calleth thee. What a thrilling thing to be called of the Lord. There's a universal call. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the call that goes out to the ends of this earth, that Jesus saves sinners. And then there's the ministerial call, or when that witness gets under that special burden. Acts 13:26, men and brethren, till the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you that feareth God, to you is this word of salvation. But thank God there's that effectual call. When the gospel comes to you in mighty power, 1 Thessalonians 1:5, for our gospel came not to you under you in word only, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost with much assurance. Now as a little boy, many times I heard my pastor preach the gospel, and God stirred my heart. And I know that there were people who prayed for me. I want to tell you that April 9th, the gospel came to me in all its power.